There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
All right, My Talkers, we made it to Hump Day. We're hanging out with Lori and Julia. It's My Talkie Central over here and Madonna Central. It's just a big time party at My Talk. Right, guys?
Yes.
That's right. We're going to be playing Finish the Lyric. We have today, tomorrow, and Friday to give away tickets. So stay tuned for when we shout that out. And then we want to give a shout out. The New Standards are having a show, Julia. The New Standards, Songs of Love, on February 10th at the Ames, the center in Burnsville.
Yes.
That would be a great date night and avoiding the February 14th hullabaloo.
There you go.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's going on. It's a masquerade dance. I don't know what that means, but I like the idea of Songs of Love by the New Standards.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, it does. So anyway, so that's kind of fun because it's, you know, John Munson of Trip Shakespeare and Semisonic,
yes,
and Jan Poling of The Suburbs, and then the amazing Steve Rome, who plays the xylophone.
The xylophone. Lovely, lovely.
Lovely, lovely. Lovely. And Julia, may I make a case for a My Talkie submission that we did?
Because
people are
voting. Do you have to?
People are voting. Yes, Julia. I want today to make my case for the reality show of the year. Okay. Our reality show of the year, I put down Depp versus Heard on Court TV. We were obsessed. People were obsessed. People watch it. Court TV hasn't had that kind of rating. Bradley and Don picked Britney's Instagram. That's a good one. Below Deck, Don and Steve.
People like that.
Real Housewives Ultimate Girl Trip. Well, there were two. And then the Academy, in a blatant suck up to Steve, picked Ring Nation.
Well, listen, that's a good suck up.
Yeah,
none of us have been on national television.
That's right. But I still think the reality show of the year was that period of time when the unbelievable stuff we were learning every day from Johnny Depp testifying and Amber Heard. It was a soap opera. You couldn't write that stuff.
It was a soap opera. I am just in your... I feel like you should not allow me to go and fight our case.
Well, not for if you don't feel strongly about that one.
No, I do about that one. I'm just
don't
feeling
you think
like
that that's
you
the
should
best
show
thing?
Up for all of
oh,
them.
Oh, for all of them. Yeah, I know.
He's so passionate about.
Well, no, I'm not passionate. You know, I've said that we. I'm not sure how we picked Actor of the Year Colin Farrell and not Austin Butler. Yeah. I guess I was just thinking you can only pick someone once.
Yeah.
For one category.
For one category.
Yeah.
And I picked Crush of the Year because I felt that Austin Butler, like so many people who weren't Nickelodeon, iCarly, or CW fan, you know, they didn't know who he was.
Right.
It seemed like he came out overnight and he's 31 and he's been a kid actor, a child actor, a teenage heartthrob.
But he's really dropped
that. I really wish there was a PR service. You know how there was a PR service that used to, anytime your name was in print, you would get this thing. I wish there was one for radio.
Okay.
For Austin Butler. I swear he would come and visit us.
Oh.
Based on the amount of publicity.
The amount of publicity.
We're going to look for him in Beverly Hills.
Elvis,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Austin Butler, I swear they would be here and just, I feel like you'd be getting flowers every day.
Okay. Well, I talked to my mom about how she felt about the Oscar nominations.
Oh, God.
And she's so happy about the movie Elvis getting nominated.
Of course.
And I said, Mom, what about Austin Butler? And she said, there's no one else that can or should win. I will be so upset if he doesn't win. No one did what he did. And I don't even know what some of these movies are, but I know no one did what he did.
Okay. That is so funny. So other people that didn't do what he did, Colin Farrell in Banshees of Inisherin.
In a Sharon.
Yeah,
you're going to learn that right. You're going to get it.
But it's spelled I-N-I-S.
I know, but it's you know, a Gaelic Fine. Or whatever.
Okay, Brendan Fraser, he did something amazing. He transformed. We haven't seen The Whale. I'm not fighting against Austin Butler. I'm just saying we've never seen transformation.
Are we talking about
Best Actor?
Best Actor, yeah.
Yes.
But then they did movie or TV. I mean, that's like impossible.
Oh, you're back to our stuff. I was going back to the Oscars.
Oscars.
Your mom's comment that no one.
Yeah. Chris Hewitt did a great recap of the Oscars
nominations
in the
today.
Star Tribune and who will win and who should win. And I always like saving that and see what's what. But the Brendan Fraser, you know, that is a heavy movie too.
Mm-hmm.
No pun intended.
Because he plays a heavy man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's like that, you know, I don't know.
We'll see.
Elvis all the way, Julia.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? This is Lori such a flip-flopper, isn't she, Grant? Wow, we can't keep you on it.
Yeah, I know it.
But anyway, you can go vote for the My Talkies still
it's
online.
Kind of fun. And I think next
totally
week the
fun.
Heats start, or whatever they call it.
The Heats. The
top two vote-getters will, the two shows will make their case.
I really
no,
think
I just might be making this up. You know, I might be making up how this goes.
I think you are,
God
but
knows
I don't
I haven't read an email, but I know, you know, it'll be on like on Jason's show. We'll call in mm-hmm. and then
debate
I don't know
it.
How it works, but I know that cases will be made and shows will be on each other's shows.
Yes. People will be on each
crossovers.
Other's. There will be some crossovers. Yeah, okay. Yes.
I like to call it shows being on other shows.
I like that.
So
that's
anyway.
That'll be good, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I don't know. They make us do it, so we have to pretend like we like it. So
well, you
clearly like
all
of
our promotions, Lori, in the last few years, you have really gone all in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You're committed. It's your people.
And I feel strongly about our candidate for Lifetime Achievement. Who is more deserving than Dolly Parton?
I think you should save some of this for the Heat.
But I'm just saying.
Yes, I agree.
Mean, you look at the category and it's like, okay, the Queen, fine. But, you know, she died and she's been celebrated. Harrison Ford, okay, fine. But not all that exciting. Michelle Yeoh, okay. Angela Lansbury by the Academy. No, it's Dolly. She is alive. She's alive and well and doing things. She's incredible. No one else. You can't say everyone universally loves Harrison Ford, the Queen. Yes, Angela. And if you know Michelle Yeoh, everyone knows who she is.
Mm-hmm.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Oh, yeah.
That's
she
how
won
we first
last
met
year
her.
For something. Or 2 years ago for playing the grandma in that show.
Oh, Crazy Rich Asians.
No.
Oh, the other one.
The other quiet one about a family in, like, Alabama or something.
Yeah, Minari.
Yeah, Minari.
Minari.
Yeah, she won for that.
Did she?
Yes, best supporting actress, I swear.
Oh.
That was just 2 years ago or last year.
I don't know.
Well, I'm trying to vote and it's stuck.
Oh,
could
well,
be
that's
my
how
computer.
Many people are voting, feeling passionately about Johnny Depp and Amber Heard
honest
being the reality show
honest
here.
All right, well, we have to take a quick break. We've got a great local author on at the bottom of the hour. We can't wait. But in the meantime, stories we can't get enough of is next.
Lori and Julia here with Ann Tressler of Tressler Law. Now, Ann, we've heard that January has one of the highest rates for divorce filings than any other month of the year. And I'm wondering, is this because of the holidays, because of the new year starting? What's the deal?
I think it really is affected by the holidays. I think a lot of people who are at a difficult point in their life try to maintain status quo for the sake of the children and the family during the holidays. They get through it and they kind of say, this is kind of my last straw. I need to move on. And again, you have your New Year's resolutions. And it's the idea that now I can make those changes I need to and make a fresh start in my life.
And if some of our people listening are thinking about divorce, what should their next steps be?
Well, I really encourage people to start educating themselves. Start really gathering information and knowledge of their financial circumstances. A lot of people rely on the spouse to take care of it. Start educating yourself on that to be prepared. It'll also be more cost-effective during the divorce proceeding.
Call Tressler Law for your free one-hour divorce consultation. Find them online at TresslerLaw.com or use my talk keyword divorce.
I cannot believe it, but here we are, Escándalo Season 2. We've gone on to Season 2 of the Amy Robach, TJ Holmes love affair because, Julia, let's face it, these photos dropped in November. So if we were doing a short
reality...
Was it
reality, that long ago?
Yes, it was after Thanksgiving. Right after Thanksgiving. So if you were doing a 6 or 8, we're on to Season 2.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
With the new
news. We're in a new year and everything.
We're in a new year and everything. And there's two very interesting stories with credible sourcing because it's a multiple source situation. So TJ, first of all, it came out that TJ Holmes, in the investigation, that he had yet another affair. So that's there's four,
including Amy,
including Amy, and there's a possible fifth one. And he was there, and he was married. He's been married for 13 years, and
so these all happened during his marriage.
While he's employed at ABC, and this is why my mom always says about wandering wieners. When a man has a wandering wiener, and it's a consistent pattern, wandering wieners wander to many places, and they wander without thinking, without discrimination, taking advantage of their wandering ways.
Yeah.
Okay. And so it's like that movie It Follows or something. They just keep turning up the story. Now, this latest gal was new to ABC, and she was an intern, and they've got real detailed information about the late night meetings that they had and how she seemed very flustered. People were like, what is going on? And anyway, but she ended up, you know, leaving, and because she was just an intern, she never, doesn't sound like she filed a complaint, but it was known behavior.
Okay.
So one story that was Amy Robach was blindsided by the other GMA affairs.
I'm going to tell you the truth. If these Amy Robach and TJ Holmes are in an affair, I'm sure he didn't tell her about all of them. I'm being completely honest. Why would he want to?
Right.
He's assuming he's never going to get caught. No one's going to ever tell. It's already passed.
Right.
There's no reason.
It makes him look bad.
Right. Why would I bring up my dirty laundry to you, my latest woman I'm having this liaison with, about all my past liaisons? So she was probably blindsided. I think that's a true statement.
Right. So the thing that... is that, you know, we heard that last week that possibly things were in mediation talks. Like, her lawyer was talking to ABC about her contract.
Because these guys are still put on pause.
Well, they're still getting paid. Yeah, they're a contract. But, yeah, they're up for it. This is being investigated. Guess what drops on TMZ today, this afternoon? They're at an impasse with ABC, and they're going to go into what people are saying, it can't go any other way but contentious mediation session with ABC, because sources with direct knowledge told TMZ this, that ABC made it clear to Amy and TJ they do not want them back together on the set of GMA or GMA, What You Need to Know, Hour 3.
They don't want them on together.
Together.
Yeah, they didn't say we don't want you, period, but what we know...
They don't want them on the same set
together.
Okay. We're told ABC has not stated whether they want one or both of them gone entirely.
Okay.
TMZ sources say once the network made it clear it doesn't want them working together on any set, their lawyers called for mediation and ABC agreed. TMZ sources further say that Amy and TJ are coming to the mediation as a united front. It appears ABC views TJ as more problematic than Amy, but we're told she will not accept a harsher outcome for TJ than her own.
Okay, this is This is where he's just
blinded.
I mean, this makes me sad because she has this career. This thing has only been going on for 6 months. There's, let's say, 8 at the most. Mm-hmm. And she's going to throw everything away because she's going to stick up with this guy who's had three other affairs.
Potentially 5.
So
I'm Bradley Traynor.
And I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S., the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
It's like, wow.
Wow. It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. But all right, so imagine think of you and I. We're in this relationship.
But we're also told that TMZ was told that their lawyers, because they each have their own lawyer,
sure,
have been working closely together so that they present a united front. And race will become an issue if TJ is disciplined or fired, especially if the punishment has no precedent with similarly situated white employees.
I give you Matt Lauer.
What I'm telling you is the way this is worded, the sources are from their lawyers. Mm-hmm. Okay? We're told that Amy and TJ, along with their lawyers, will appear on Zoom during the mediation. And the mediation recommends...
It's tomorrow.
Yeah, they won't be binding, but it could end up with some sort of resolution or compromise. So stay tuned for episode 2 of Escandalo.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Season 2. This is going to happen.
So
if I were her friend, if I were her sister, if I was her mother and father, or brother or sister, I would just say, please.
Yeah, and I think Matt Lauer thing, the reason why you can't make that comparison with TJ Holmes is that he was credibly accused of sexual assault. Everything from TJ Holmes.
It's been mutual.
Yeah, morally not great, right,
but it's been mutual.
It's been consensual.
Thank you.
It's been consensual.
Including
Amy, and no one has, there hasn't been one leak that anything has been. Now, the they're not naming she's now 24, the young woman who was a junior staffer. She was an overnight associate producer, and apparently TJ was fond of working the overnights. Working late on a story for the next day.
Mm-hmm. Conveniently.
Well, I mean.
They also said TJ was one of the hardest working people on the staff. Not only did, because we saw him, he did the anchor, he did the stories, yeah, but he'd produce them too.
Yeah, he was a great, great.
I loved watching him on TV.
Same. And
I like both of them. I miss them.
His wiener wangling, dick dazzling twirl around the ballroom has left, I don't want to say, a bad taste in anyone's mouth because that sounds terrible, but it's like, it is kind of astonishing how there are men who feel like, I mean, that's just a drive within them to conquer and they can separate it, and it doesn't have nothing to do with
it. But in this day and age, with all the...
But still, Julia, I mean, people think of themselves as rock stars in many occupations.
Oh, my gosh.
In many occupations. And it's just not really a way that's familiar. It's not a way that women think.
It isn't.
You know, there are a few women that do think that way, like apparently Lydia Tarr. Okay, that's
in the movie Tar.
Yeah, which we're not ever going to see because it just sounds so depressing. I've seen my quotient of depressing movies for the Oscars.
Well, you really have seen a lot of them, Lori.
I really have. I've done the work, you guys. I even saw She Said.
I
liked it, but again,
but it's heavy.
And it was a story that I kind of felt like we read Ronan Farrow's book.
Right.
And we were obsessed with
still
that story.
See that.
And I'm like, I always want our world to have, you know, reporters, investigative reporters and stuff like that. And Patrick Gracie told us yesterday that only the New York Times really has a big
team,
like,
anymore.
Because they worked on that story for like 2 years.
That's right.
Just that story.
Yeah.
People don't
Media
have that
has
kind
changed
of,
so much over there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And maybe if there's a big enough story, then they would devote the time.
Right.
But anyway, so yeah, I believe that you are absolutely 100% correct in your assessment that she was blindsided.
Blindsided. I 100%.
He did not tell her all that.
Stay with us. We've got PJ Tracy joining us. Her latest book is a big hit. We'll be right back. This is Lori and Julia on My Talk.
And Julia here for Hammernecks Interior Solution. They've been in business over 75 years, family-owned business. And at Hammernecks, they have two flooring superstores, one at the original site of the Design Center, which is on Race Street in St. Paul, and then the new one off of 169 and Bass Lake Road in New Hope. But at the flooring superstores, you'll find the largest in-stock selection of brand names, and of course, always getting personalized service from the Hammernecks flooring experts. They have carpeting, they have hardwood flooring, they have tile flooring, they have vinyl flooring, they've got laminate flooring. And with the carpeting, you've got the choice of the Smart Strand Forever Clean Carpet or the Karastan Pet Strand, so that if you've got animals, you don't have to worry about your carpet getting ruined, especially designed carpeting for pets. And they're just wonderful to work with, and they can do install or DIYers. That's Hammernecks.
Thanks for hanging out with us. We have a wonderful author that Lori's going to introduce in a second, but we want to thank our sponsor, Book Club Restaurant. And whenever you go in there and mention the Lil J Book Club or My Talk, you get a free hot toddy.
Mm-hmm.
So that, people are loving that.
That is very nice. And we are delighted. We have, we know her under her author name, PJ Tracy. But Tracy, who is a best-selling, award-winning author, we've had you on many times. You're the author of the Monkey Wrench series. And now you're here for your latest book with your Maggie Nolan. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. Ladies, it's so good to be back.
Oh. Is it really true that we had you and your mom in studio, would have been like 20 years ago?
20 years ago. Monkey Wrench came out in 2003. And thank the Lord, none of us have aged 20 years.
No.
Really? No, nothing. Yeah.
Okay, so your mom passed away in 2016,
yes.
I believe. And
yes.
Then you've been writing Feeling Your Mom, because I wrote that at the end of it, with your mom's presence, but you still write under the pseudonym PJ Tracy.
I do.
And your real name is Tracy, so we're going to call you that. So thanks for coming in studio.
I know, and we did, and we loved reading, you know, those books, but I don't know. I mean,
I'm in love with this book.
We're in love. We're in love with your Detective Margaret Nolan in the Hollywood Bureau in Los Angeles solving crimes. I mean, it's really...
I think we should have a setup of this book.
The Devil You Know.
Tell us about it.
Well, it, as you know, having read it, it is kind of a wicked tale of Hollywood scandal and revenge and betrayal.
Yes, and movie stars, actors, and producers.
The whole shebang. And Evan Hobbs is a beloved actor, and he is found in the rubble of a Malibu rock slide the day after his career and his life is totally ruined by a deepfake video that portrays him in a compromising situation with a minor.
I am fascinated with you because we had you on like a year ago for Desolation Canyon, which was about the cult.
Yes.
And Maggie was in it. I mean, how do you come up with these wild but believable stories?
This was so good.
Thank you so much.
I mean,
it's just, I think and imagine and invent like 24/7, even in my sleep. And I'm probably partially insane too, and that helps.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just absorb everything. I see everything around me. And LA is really special for me to write about because I lived there for 10 years.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And I was very immersed in the film industry.
LA. We love LA.
Immersed in the film industry.
Yes.
Okay. So you are going to have a lot of ideas.
Yes. I mean, it's endless. And I thought, you know, when I moved back to Minnesota finally, just churning inside were all these observations and insights and LA and the zeitgeist. And it's such a complex place, you know, really, really is. It gets bad rap. It's not all superficial. And I just couldn't wait. So after PJ passed, I did two more Monkey Wrench.
Yes.
And then I just, it came bursting forth.
Yeah. You know, for Margaret, do you call her Maggie in your mind?
I call
her Maggie, too.
I call her Maggie, yeah.
You're so funny.
I do. I really like her. And then also the other reoccurring character that we see.
Sam. Yes.
And Sam, tell us about the inspiration for Sam, because he's such an interesting character that has... Have you had three Maggie Nolan books?
Yes.
Is it
this
three?
Is the third one.
The Devil You Know.
And Sam is in all of them. Now, for those of you who may not have read this series, Sam Easton is an Afghan war vet. And in the first book, Deep Into the Dark, he's struggling with very severe PTSD. And as his character arcs, he's gradually working through that. And the inspiration for Sam is actually an old family letter that PJ and I found at my grandparents' house when I was a teenager. And it was in my grandfather's old family correspondence, you know, from way back.
Oh, wow.
And it was a letter about a very distant cousin of mine and his mother writing to her brother about how my cousin had returned from Gettysburg very badly damaged. PTSD.
Yes.
They had no idea
body
what it
and
was.
Soul.
Body and soul. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And she was talking about how tormented she was because they had no recourse but to tie him up in the attic.
Oh, wow.
Because they were afraid for the young children and the family and for his own safety.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what they did back then. And it was so horrifying. I mean, I'm 17. I'm like, oh, my gosh. They did this, and I don't think Sam Easton would exist as a character if I had not discovered that letter.
Yeah.
Very powerful.
Yeah, oh, and you write about it, because I do vaguely remember one of my grandmothers talking about how her, like, uncle, who was in the Great War, World War
One. Yes, yeah.
How they called it, you know, he got his brain hurts and now he just ain't, he's never been right in the head.
Oh.
He's just kind of, you know, they just, it was very, and that's why, so if they drank or whatever kind of like a thing that they had that was making them messed up, people didn't really, they talked even around
they
it.
They did, you know, it was very much, it was, there was such a stigma, much like, you know, mental illness, you know, had and still does, unfortunately, you know, and so, and it's just really fascinating. And just, you know, I've known people and, of course, did a lot of research because you have to get that stuff right.
Yeah.
These are real
Sam
people.
Is hopeful. Like, I love his story, and I don't feel that you need to read your books in order.
I don't
that
either.
Would be
and that's one of the things, because Desolation Canyon was so great, but I was in Mexico reading this, and I gave it to this gal who was an avid reader from the UK. But I tore out your acknowledgments page, and I'm like, because I gotta remember this PTSD thing with the letter from Gettysburg.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something interesting. I love author's notes.
So
I said, you're gonna love this, Margaret Nolan. I mean, it's such a great book. I couldn't put it down.
Yeah, I put you like in the category, like we love T.M. Logan, if you know who is. I mean, the mystery of it all, you know, like William Kent Kruger is Corko. I mean, we love these.
Brian Freeman.
We're always amazed at the imagination and things that you come up with. I'm so glad that you lived in Hollywood for 10 years, because that means you've got so many ideas for Margaret.
Right. I do. I've got crazy things happening in my mind right now. So.
I love it. All right. So if you're
I want Amazon. I want Jeff Bezos to buy this.
We'll just wait
and
a second.
Option it on
she
Amazon.
She has good news. So we're with PJ Tracy. The Devil You Know is her latest book. You were telling us you might have some really good, fun news.
There is some exciting
outside
stuff
of your wonderful book.
Outside of the Margaret Nolan series, we're in talks now with Paramount Plus, CBS, about Monkey Wrench as a streaming series. Yeah. And it would be a book season.
Yeah.
And I actually co-wrote the pilot.
Did you? Wow.
I did. Yeah. Well, I have a background in screenwriting.
Of course you do. That's so unusual. Most authors are cannot. That's different writing.
It's very totally different. And really, you have to like take a week and just shift your mind.
Yeah.
You know, I think Noel Coward said this wonderful thing. And he said, because he did both. And he said, adapting a novel into a script is like taking a big juicy steak and reducing it to a bouillon cube.
Oh, wow. And it's, yeah.
Isn't that brilliant? Because that's what it has.
So you're co-writing it with this guy and who has experience as well?
Yes, he's a big screenwriter out in L.A.
Okay, so you're doing this and are you kind of like, no, we got to keep that in? No, I feel
Did
you just let it all go?
Or you know because you've written scripts.
Well, I have written scripts and we connected like that. I mean, like that. And the pilot, you know, is only 30 pages, right? And
I knew that.
Well, actually, no, I'm sorry. The pilot's an hour. It's 60 minutes. My bad.
Okay.
So, but anyhow, we just completely were in sync from the get-go. You know, we both have a lot of experience. And we literally talked for about half an hour to 40 minutes. And we took our assignments. And we're done in 6 days.
Wow. 6 days.
6 days.
Wow.
And you know what was a good example of doing the book series is Three Pines, Lieutenant Inspector Gamache, the Louise Penny.
Yes.
Like that's how I could envision that happening with yours.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so.
Fingers crossed, ladies.
It's so good. You know, okay, so that'll work. Don't you think it's going to happen now?
I do. You know what? I do. I mean, sometimes it can take 20 years. It's been 20 years. And it could, you know, take five more. But for the first time, it's gone so far that I really believe it's not if, it's when.
When,
That's so cool. And would it be called Monkey Wrench?
They love that name.
Well, the name is so great.
And this kind of stuff is what people want on streaming. I mean, Jack Ryan. I mean, there's so many types of shows like this. And already have the books. You already have the story made.
I know. Well, I am a font of intellectual property.
Yes, you
know,
exactly. Exactly.
13 books. I
love it. Now, do you ever have time to read anyone else's book?
I read as often as I can.
Okay, what's the last great book you read?
You know, the last great book
that, besides yourself.
Well, I wrote that, so I guess it doesn't count. But I'm going back and rereading old things, and I just finished reading Chandler's The Big Sleep.
Oh.
Absolutely brilliant. I mean, he was the master of the genre.
Yeah.
You know, Philip Marlowe. And I just couldn't believe it was so fresh and contemporary.
Yeah.
And I just loved it.
Oh, good.
And the last one that I read that I really liked, I was far behind, was A Gentleman in Moscow.
Oh, yes.
I love that. Well, I was a Russian major. So
Saw that at St. Olaf's.
Yes. Yeah. So it was like good. So I got.
Yeah, you got a lot of the stuff that other people didn't get.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, yeah, and the Lincoln Highway is supposed to be very good.
Tracy, how do people follow you, or what's the best way if they want to be in touch with you as an author? Facebook, or what is it?
They get Facebook at PJ Tracy Author.
Okay.
I'm on Instagram, PJ Tracy Author, and also pjtracy.com, and there's a contact me. I do a newsletter that I batch out. And it's usually funny and intriguing and weird.
Okay.
So if you want to, like, have a weird moment every month or so, come into your mailbox.
Thank you. It's funny that it's been 20 years.
I can't
remember you guys coming in.
We had so much fun, and I've had so much fun. Thank you again. I'm so grateful. It's really good to see you, ladies.
Oh, you too. Thanks for coming.
Next year.
We'll see you again. We're big fans.
The devil, you know, it's a huge thumbs up. Great read by PJ Tracy. We've got a couple books to give away. Give Grant a call at 651-641-1071. In the meantime, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I wish I knew when we were giving away the Madonna tickets. I'm kidding. I know when we're giving away, but it's not right now.
Nope.
Not right now.
You got to keep listening.
Yes.
For that chance.
Okay, so Yeah, we got some good couch last night, you guys.
Oh, we yes,
we
did.
We got some real good couch all over the
you
place last night.
You gave us some good couch.
Time for Lori and Julia's.
Last night was wonderful.
Good couch.
I mean, Jimmy Kimmel has been on fire this week. He had all of his all-star friends do his 10-year-old comic book come to life, starring Jennifer Aniston and John Hamm and Jason. I mean, he really has been having good guests, and he's been, you know.
But last night, let's just talk about
funny the, and the monologue and stuff. And he's just been on fire leading up to this 20th. So last night he had two good.
No, but start out with how it started out. He had Back to the Future, the DeLorean on stage with Michael J. Fox.
That was
and
a replay.
The professor.
That, yeah, that was from 2015.
Oh, I thought that was from last night.
No, Joey, he showed a clip of 2015.
There you go. Yeah, there you go.
Michael J.
Who's
Fox.
Who's the blonde in the room?
Yeah, I couldn't figure out like what you're getting so anxious about.
I'm like, oh.
No, that was a flashback to 2015. Yeah. You know, Michael J. Fox does not move that well anymore.
No,
right.
Or nor does the old man, Doc Brown, look that good anymore.
Right. No, so last night, though, he had Julia Louis-Dreyfus on, and Roger Freeman saw her movie at Sundance. She did this movie with James Gandolfini 10 years ago called Enough Said. And this friend, a good friend of hers, who's a writer and a filmmaker, Nicole something, she wrote and directed Julia and James in that movie Enough Said.
Which was so good.
It was like her first middle-aged rom-com
kind of
dramedy.
And it was so
good.
It was so good.
So she's in this gem. That's what Roger says. It's a charm gem. A movie called You Hurt My Feelings. And so Roger said Nicole Holofcener is her name, is like Woody Allen mixed with Nora Ephron and Nancy Meyers. Her sensibility.
Wow.
And Julia Roberts is starring as this middle-aged woman who, you know, she's a mildly successful and slightly neurotic Upper West Side woman who finds out in her long marriage with Tobias Menzies, you know, who played Charles and Outlander, that her husband really, he's a therapist and he's pretended to like her books all along.
Okay, that's kind of a funny, that's funny. That's a funny premise.
Yeah, so anyway, he said it's charming movie, but she was on Kimmel, and they obviously probably know each other a long time, and they're just kind of reminiscing. He's asking her, do you remember the first time you were on my show?
Yeah, how excited I was the first time you came on the show.
No.
Very excited. Very excited. It was 2006.
Yeah.
November of 2006.
Okay.
Happened to be the same month the Nintendo Wii came out, just to give you a little.
Oh, that I knew. Okay.
That night, we went back through and kind of collected some notes. You drove yourself to the show.
Okay.
You got lost coming here.
Makes sense.
Did you drive yourself tonight?
I did not.
Okay.
I was on time.
You learned your lesson.
Yes.
We had a psychic on the show, and we expected you would want no part of that.
Oh,
but
no.
But you decided to hang out and stay with the psychic.
Yes.
You like psychics in general?
I can't get enough of all that stuff. Yeah.
I like it.
I like psychics. I like cart magic tricks.
Oh, are they similar things, do you think?
I think they're a little bit similar. Am I wrong?
No, I think you're right, actually, yeah. And the psychic told you that you were a psychic, basically, that you had the ability to see the future and et cetera. Did you agree with that at the time?
No.
No.
I don't think so. I mean, I'm barely a psychic about the past. For example, my memory just sucks. And so you're telling me this about me being on the show?
Yeah.
No memory.
No memory of any of that. Yeah.
Yeah,
well, that did happen. And okay. At the time, you seemed very open to the idea that you, too, were a psychic.
Yeah, I like the idea. It's
maybe she
wonderful.
Just meant you were just as much a psychic as she was.
Yeah, she was trying. She probably sensed I was questioning her, and she wanted me to get off her back, maybe.
Anyway, he had her on for two segments, and they were just darling. And she did a little humble bragging about her son, Charlie, who's in college Sex Life of Girls.
Of college students. Of college girls.
Girls, yeah. Something
the
like
Mindy Kaling show on HBO. And that was kind of fun.
And then Bobby Cannavale and Rose Byrne came out holding hands. And they are a real life couple.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this was what was so cool. Because you never see a couple come out together. And
hardly
they were holding hands.
Never.
And they were sitting on a couch. His arms were on her. Her hand was on his lap. It was so cute.
It was the, I love these two. I love both. Anything that they're in, I think they're just terrific. They are terrific actors. His hair. Then the premise of the show that they're in.
So it's called Seriously Red. And it is a...
Seriously Red. Okay, yes, we posted the trailer.
Yes, we did. And it's her best friend. It wrote it, this and directed
Rose
it.
Rose Byrne's best friend.
Yes, yes. And her name is Gracie Otto. And this premiered at South by Southwest. And it's really, it's just a woman loses her job and she follows her dream to become a Dolly Parton impersonator.
Oh, I love it already.
And it's easy. It's silly. People say don't expect anything from them. It's just a great.
Well, Kimmel showed, he's like, okay, Bobby. He said this, I did. You're the washed up Neil Diamond. And I'm like, he looked like Neil Diamond.
He really did.
In the 70s or whatever era this is in.
Right. So she goes on this impersonator kind of circuit.
And then Rose Byrne is Elvis.
Yes. But they're not called impersonators. They're called tribute performers.
Okay.
That was the new word we learned last night. Yeah. And in this movie, they've got people who are tribute performers who've done Kiss for the last 25 years. Mm-hmm. People who have done Elton John.
Cher is a big one.
Yep, Elton John. I'm kind of excited. This comes out.
When?
It doesn't come out on Prime Video On Demand until February 10th.
Okay, it looks fantastic.
We posted that the trailer. It looks darling. It was fun seeing a couple. You never see that. Together on late night.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes,
they're hot.
Yes, they are.
They really were. All right, we'll be right back.